Maggie's going to be disappointed, he thought as he pushed through Muscat's narrow, crowded, dusty Rui High Street, brushing white-robed Arabs and South Asian laborers from Pakistan and Bangladesh, dodging white and orange taxis that crept through the pedestrian melee. And I don't blame her. It was 7:45 p.m. exactly, a little more than 4 hours till the 5th. Air conditioners, straining to cool the jewelry and electronic shops along the souk, exhaled stale, hot air, adding more bite to the rabid 95-degree heat. September in the Sultanate of Oman was a bitch. Matt Freed took a quick glance over his shoulder to check that dark-haired Cody still followed on the other side of the street. They'd been on foot for more than an hour. Neither had detected hostile surveillance. At 38, Matt was a solid 6'1" with sandy hair and light brown eyes. An intense high-kilowatt current seemed to run through his body and beam from his eyes. Otherwise, he was unremarkable, nice-looking but not handsome, alert but not studied, conventionally dressed in a short-sleeve cotton shirt and khakis. He could easily pass for an Irish oilfield worker, Swedish SAS pilot, American engineer, German businessman, and had used all four identities. At a kebab stand, Matt made a sharp turn into an alley, jostling the loaded Glock he carried in his canvas briefcase. Almost immediately, a young Arab man in a white Izod shirt standing outside of Big Apple Electronics looked up from his cell phone. The two men made eye contact as the big American closed the space between them. This better be my man, Matt thought. It was. He and the Arab exchanged no words, just an electronic key inside a paper cover. The cover read Al Bustan Palace Hotel. Room number 723 was written in pencil. Smoothly, without stopping, Matt continued through the alley, exiting back onto Rui High Street. His partner stood waiting on the other side of the street. Matt flagged down a cab, and tall, pencil-thin Cody slid in. Take us up the Corniche, then down into Old Muscat. My friend wants to see the Sultan Qaboos's palace, Cody said in Egyptian-accented Arabic. Nam, responded the driver. We're clean, Cody said out of the side of his mouth. Matt relaxed into the back of the seat. After 2 tours with CIA operations and 5 years with the National Counterterrorism Service, NCTS, this was old hat. Entering the coast road, the Corniche, the taxi swerved right. To their right, a row of 3-story buildings decorated with Islamic filigree and arches. To their left, past the lights, modern commercial vessels mingled with Arab-style dhows in the harbor. Matt rehearsed the mission ahead. He was interrupted by Cody's humming a tune and drumming on the armrest. Focus, Matt warned. I was thinking about this girl back home who sent me this download of her dancing to the song Polaris. I need your full attention. You got it, sir. I just love watching women dance. The hills they entered were honeycombed and sucked by the sun of every bit of moisture. After climbing for 5 minutes, the taxi descended a slope into Old Muscat, past a sheer cliff topped with an ancient Portuguese fortress. The driver hung a right and stopped. Cody handed him some reals, and the two men stepped out. There were no tourists in sight, only a small number of Omanis milling about. Matt felt exposed. Let's move. The gentle breeze off the Persian Gulf carried a hint of poet's jasmine as they passed the palace, its large, flat entrance protruding like a huge concrete tongue. At the next corner, Matt hailed a second cab. Al Bustan Hotel. This driver, a Bedouin, took off leisurely, scattering the cigarette ashes that littered every surface of the cab. Picturesque Old Muscat and the coast bounced by again. After jostling through several villages, they approached a traffic circle with a dhow in the middle. The resplendent Al Bustan Palace Hotel glittered to their left. They'd be meeting Molokher Moshiri, a former general in the Iranian army, now living in exile. As a young man, Moshiri had made a name for himself fighting the Iraqis. He had once been loyal to the Mullahs, but no more. The lobby dripped with luxury, from the rich hand-woven carpets over marble to the jewel-effulgent 80-foot dome. Packs of rich Omanis and other Arabs lounged in stuffed chairs discussing business in hushed tones. Exiting the elevator was a stocky man with short-cropped white hair, dressed in an Omani dishdasha, the traditional long white robe. His skin was a shade lighter than the average Arab's, and he had a C-shaped scar on his neck. Iranian, Matt thought, as he inserted the plastic card in the elevator security panel and pressed 7. What's he doing here? Later, he'd be paying the general's bill, which would run at least $800 a night. For a year now, the general had provided Matt and his employer with valuable information regarding the Iranian Armed Forces and the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, IRGC. On 2 separate occasions, he'd helped thwart attacks on U.S. interests in the Persian Gulf. Clearly, the general had a highly placed source within the IRGC. Matt speculated that it was a member of Moshiri's extended family. They followed the plush carpet past a dozen doors and stopped. Matt knocked and waited. He knocked again. I bet he fell asleep. 2 men in white robes exited a room down the hall. Matt waited until the elevator swallowed them before inserting the electronic key and letting himself in. The room was pitch black. The plastic key placed in the wall system changed that.